Well, I got a question. Have y'all ever wondered, why do you need to come to church? Does any of y'all other than myself ever ask that question to people? When I was 12 years old, I would ask that constantly to my parents. Why do I need to go? What in the world do I need to go to church for? Why do we need to gather together? Why do we need to hang out? Aubrey, did you ever ask your mom and daddy that up there in Georgia? About 16, I was really asking questions. Now, I'm going to tell you, Mama, I know you love the Lord, and I love the Lord, but I don't need to go to church. I said, first of all, I said half of them are asleep, so that ought to tell you what they believe in. And I had all kinds of reasons of why he didn't need to go to church, and I want you to know today I was wrong about every one of them. You see, I hadn't really read the Bible yet. I really didn't know what it meant to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't know what it meant to be in spiritual community. Now, here's what I want you to know. First thing is this. We must surrender our lives to Jesus to understand spiritual fellowship. So it starts with who? Jesus. That's point one. Without Jesus, you can't have spiritual fellowship. Now, go with me to Hebrews chapter 10, and we're going to get some reasons. Who do you got to have spiritual fellowship?
Jesus.
Who?
Jesus.
Jesus. Jesus. Jesus. Now, this is the message. There is a cross that Jesus died on, and guess what that does? Takes sin out of human beings. There's a resurrection that is a declaration. You know what I mean by that? It's the declaration that God lives, and you will live in Christ. Now, I know this is going to blow you away. There's no other way to be saved other than the cross and resurrection. Now, I know for some of you all, that's startling. All the media disagrees with me. Great giant human beings like Bill Maher disagree with me. Guess what? And some of you are saying, well, what about all of these good people? Goodness will not equate, you know what I mean, equal. Goodness does not equal salvation. Been a great confusion among humanity, and especially humanity from the South. Here's what we really believe in the South. If I'm a good boy, I'm a good girl, I don't do a few things, or I don't do whatever things are acceptable in whatever county you're in. I've learned that this varies from county to county, depending on what we grow or what industry we happen to be involved in. I noticed in Lexington, they don't preach as hard about gambling as they do in Bowling Green. But in Bowling Green, I find they don't preach against drag racing. You see what I'm saying? We're trying to save ourselves. Now, here's what I want you to know. You can't save yourself. So if that be true, and that is true, here's the deal. Jesus would like to be in you. Isn't that great? Here's the first response of fellowship. You and I worship a God that loves us and wants to be in us. How many of y'all say, man, that's good news? I mean, to me, that's good news. I'm glad God didn't say this. Steve Ayers, when you become a good boy, I'll let you in heaven. Because guess what? That would never happen. Now, I know some of you all think that you have a deep maturity of righteousness. That very thought, you have just confessed your immaturity and understanding of God. And this is going to sting. Our righteousness is considered by God. Anybody know that scripture? Filthy rags. Our righteousness. And here's why. Our righteousness is always tainted with an ulterior motive. What is it? What do you think it is most of the time? Look at. How many of y'all remember all them little kids in school that always do something little good and nice? What'd they do right after they did it? This is what I did. This is what I did. I gave the teacher an apple. What'd you give her? Jill, you taught school. You ever seen anybody like that? Yeah. We called them suck-ups. Yeah, they walk around. Look at me. Look at me. Now, I want you to know something because it's important. Look at me. Now, notice this is serious, okay? I'm not even going to be long today. Y'all don't believe that, but that's all right. You don't have to believe it. Just let's be in the moment. A look at me mentality keeps us from having fellowship. Does that make sense? Because the Bible doesn't call us to look at me, but to look at who? Him. Now, as we look at Jesus, I got to help you what fellowship is. We're dealing with spiritual fellowship today. Most of us that grew up in the Baptist church, when we hear the word fellowship, what do we automatically think of? Potluck, exactly right. Since we didn't drink in public, we ate always. And really, this is the concept of people who've grown up in church for the past 50 or 60 years. They think fellowship is a meal. It's interesting. I love church bulletins, and I read through them, and they kind of crack me up. You know, diet program and potluck all on the same day. You know, we could cancel one of those events, and you wouldn't have to have the other. You know what I mean? It's we think that it's just getting together and eating. No. Fellowship is the way we live with each other. Fellowship is right now in worship. Fellowship's in the way that we conduct ourselves in the parking lot. Hello. Fellowship is about being together with Christ leading all of us. Now, I want you to note this. Please note this. Just fake me out. Are you listening?
Yes.
Oh, that's kind of weak. Are you listening?
Yes.
Okay, good. Just save your way. For those of you that come from quiet churches, this is a new understanding. Here at Hillview, we don't believe that only Jesus died on the cross. We also believe that he arose from the dead. So it's a little lively around here. Some of my brothers still got him stuck on the cross. They need to read the rest of the story. He got up the next morning. He lives. He talks. He shouts. He dances. He celebrates. I'm so excited. I was released in life when I found out that Jesus was not a professor and heaven was not a consistent lecture. This excited me. Heaven was the happening of life always. What does it mean to be in fellowship? You and I are to be in fellowship with all of those who believe that Jesus died on the cross, has risen from the grave, and have been forgiven of their sins by Jesus Christ. Hello? There are no special people in the kingdom of God. We've all been saved the same way. Y'all agree with that? We don't have like special Christians. Now, I know some of you think you're special, but that's an illusion in your own mind. But it's just like a big family. I mean, I was the firstborn in my family. Any of y'all firstborn? Now, in a family, we all know that's the best child. True? How many of you firstborns know you were the best child? Clayson, you lucked out. Blake's not in this service. But I can feel him raising both of his hands right now. But you know what? Really, guess what? First, second, third, guess what? It really doesn't matter to your parents. Elizabeth, which child of ours is your favorite? You better say Clayson right now. You can say Blake next service, okay? No? What's this? Elizabeth said it to her. She said, I don't have a favorite. I just have children. Now, I really want y'all to know this. God doesn't have a favorite. He just has what? Children. I want you to know some cool things. Guess what? Folk over at Living Hope, those are our brothers and sisters. And folk over at the United Methodist Church, guess what? They're brothers and sisters. Even the Church of Christ are our brothers and sisters. They just don't know it yet. It's going to be pretty cool. I can't wait. I got some good Church of Christ kids, friends. And, you know, if we get to do that hoovered up rapture thing, I think it's going to be so cool. I'm going to be in the float and I'm going to go, surprise, surprise, surprise. And I said, wait till y'all get up here and hear the guitars. Of course, then they're going to bust on us Baptists and say, you know what? Y'all are going to be surprised. Nobody's taking a vote up here. A lot of Baptists will be disappointed in heaven because God's not going to ask any of them what they think. Because he doesn't care. He already knows what he said. Now, fellowship is with everybody. In fact, I want to propose to you, this seems like a trinket, but it's really a powerful thing. If we were in unity with each other, how much of the world would change? You're my brother and sister in Christ. I don't care what church you hang out in. I care what God you follow. And if you follow Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, and you follow him, and you know that he's the way into eternal heaven, then guess what? You are my brother or you are my what? Sister. Now, let's think about this for a minute. God even uses this kind of parallel. He calls us family, brother and sister. Why? How many of y'all got a brother or sister? You got a brother or sister. Even if you were an only child, how many of y'all ended up having a sister-in-law or brother-in-law eventually? God's going to get you one way or another somewhere in the journey of life. Now, I don't know about you. I love my brothers and sisters, but I have fought with my brothers and sisters before. How many of y'all fought with your brothers and sisters before? Man, I do. And I'm kind of like this. I can pick on them, but you can't. And see, I think we need to get a little more like that in the kingdom of God. Now, listen, we're brothers and sisters. I just want you to know some things on fellowship. Three things I want you to know. You do have to agree that Jesus is Lord and the only way to heaven. That's a fundamental. Now, we have some, and they think they're smart, but the Bible's already told us those who think they're smart are already dumb. Those who know they're faithful are the ones that got it going on. I think they're smart, and they're trying to say, well, listen, nice people go to heaven. No, not nice people go to heaven. Forgiven people go to heaven. That's what Christians believe, those who follow Christ. That's what Jesus said. Now, what the world says is, if you're nice and lovely and wonderful and treat people wonderful, you're going to go to heaven. Well, that's not true. What's true is only Jesus can get you to heaven. How many of y'all believe that? You need to check your beliefs. Now, let me tell you this. Here's another thing about fellowship. You don't have to agree on everything to love each other. Elizabeth and I don't agree on everything. We love each other. I don't agree with most things on Clacy, but I love her. True, Clacy? We argue all the time as father and daughter. Why? It's the way God made our minds. We have a good time, but I'm going to tell you what, you let somebody try to hurt my daughter, and I'm in full agreement. You see what I'm saying? Now we're not in fellowship. We're in what? She's my daughter. We're in relationship. So here's what I want you to know. First off, you have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ to truly understand fellowship. And then I just want to give you a reason. Why in the world do we need to come to church? We need each other. If you don't mind, look, we need each other. Go ahead and share that with you. We need each other. Yeah. Raj, we need each other. And the fellowship doesn't just take place where? Raj, you didn't come to Jesus Christ in a church. You came to Jesus Christ in a gym. Raj met Jesus in a gym. Jesus was in a gym. Raj met some pastors in this church in a gym. They were working out. Guess what they were doing? Their ministry. Now, when I was taught in ministry, that would have been a no-no, Don. The pastor would have said, now, you're not doing ministry unless you're reading a commentary at your desk. Now, what's interesting, if you read the Bible, none of that's in the Bible. Jesus did, you know, there's not one recorded scripture where Jesus says, well, I was reading the scroll for 5 hours today. Jesus was kind of always out and about doing his thing. Jesus was in the midst of life. And in the midst of life, fellowship happens. God wants us to love one another. Amen. He says it all the time. John 13, 34. He's getting ready to leave. And these are his final words, Jesus' words. He says, listen, this is a new commandment I give you. You know, you all have heard it said, do unto others as you want them to do unto you. Love like somebody else loves you. And he says, I'm getting it. You know, that's kind of the golden rule, right? That's popular with our politicians, the golden rule. But Jesus says, listen, I want you to go beyond the golden rule. I want you to live in the platinum rule. And the platinum rule is this, love others as I've loved you. So that takes Jesus to love this way. Why in the world do we need to go to church? Well, here's why. First of all, we got to hold to what we profess. Hebrews chapter 10. Let's back it up a little bit and start with verse 23, I think. Yeah, 23. 10:23. Let's learn a couple things. If we deliberately... Back her up. Verse 23. Let us hold on, unswavering, without question. How many understand believers in Jesus Christ are without question? Watch this. Y'all may find this hard to believe. Do I tick people off? Yeah. Why? Because it won't bend. And listen, I've had many people say, Pastor Steve, the gospel you preach today won't work. We're in a multi-generation. We're in a generation where we're global. I said, no, what you don't understand is I worship a global Jesus. Jesus was multi-ethnic before America was. And Jesus said, I die for all people, not some people. Jesus knows the world. And it's not about being accepting of other cultures. It's about all cultures receiving Christ. That'll bring unity. We don't want to hear that. Why? We didn't create that. This is what makes us mad. We don't have anything to do with grace. Boy, it makes us mad, doesn't it? Some of us want to just, Lord, if you'd let me do 5 spiritual jumping jacks. But then you'd have something to brag about. I guarantee you there'd be a whole movement of we jump better than you started. But see, really, we all get to grace on the same way. And you can disagree with that, but you're scripturally wrong. You're just scripturally wrong. The whole point of grace is this. You and I can't make it. Amen? Because I guarantee you, if we could make grace, somebody would be selling it on late night cable. I guarantee you. 1995, dose of grace. 2 ounces of grace, get all the wrinkles off your face and change your heart. There it'd be. But Jesus said the only way you can connect to spiritual fellowship is through the grace of God. First point today, you got to receive Jesus to understand this kind of fellowship. Why? Let us hold what? Unswervingly to the hope we profess. What do you profess? What's the hope we profess?
Eternal life.
Every Sunday I tell you that eternal life can only be found in who, John Paul? Christ Jesus. I've had people leave the church because they said, Ayers, I'm tired of hearing you talk about the cross and resurrection. I said, bye. They said, we got to have deeper stuff. I said, I'm going to tell you what your stuff's called, but I'm not going to tell you in a public format what that's called. There's nothing deeper than the cross and resurrection. So what the devil comes by is he tries to create like there's some kind of secret message that only a few folk can have. And that's what the really spiritual have. He's been doing this for millenniums. No, the message is what we profess. Whosoever believes in Jesus can be what? Saved. He didn't say the some that believe. He said the whosoever that believe. The whosoever that believe in who? Jesus. I don't know who they are, but guess what? Some of them are here today. How many of y'all profess Jesus Christ is your salvation, your sin freedom, and your way to heaven? That's what we hold on to. Well, let me ask you a question. Why do you bend when the world pokes at you? Let Oprah interview. I'd love to be on an Oprah show. Especially when she looked at me. So you believe that only people who believe in Jesus Christ will go to heaven? Watch this, how quick I'd be. Yeah. I wouldn't be like one of my colleagues. It took him 45 minutes to figure out what sin was because he didn't want to offend anybody. Took him 45 minutes. He was asked that question. So do you believe people who don't believe in Jesus Christ don't go to heaven? He said, well, I want everybody to know. I mean, I believe this dude really believes he's going to smile everybody into the kingdom of heaven. Watch this. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you're not in fellowship with God. Because that's the way to fellowship with God. I don't know what's so hard about it. Well, here's what's so hard about it. When I say Jesus is the only way to heaven, then what happens? Well, Pastor Ayers, do you think you're better than me? No, I'm saved. In fact, I'm worse than you. I really blow people when they start talking. They say, what do you mean? I said, I don't even care about you without Jesus Christ. I really don't. I don't care what you do. But in Jesus Christ, I love you and I want you to know salvation. Jesus Christ has given me a heart that all would be saved, that all would be changed, that all can be loved. It's because of Jesus we live. So what do we got to do, man? We got to hold on to what's true. First thing fellowship does is help us hold on. Because we hear a lot, John Paul, you're great at understanding this, but we hear a lot of other professions during the week, don't we? How many of y'all have heard this one? If you're good, you're okay. That's a false profession. How many of y'all have even heard this one? Only certain religious types in Christianity really got it and others are out of bounds. I want y'all to be careful with something. It's on the move again. It occurs about every 50 years. It's nothing new. Don't let anybody else judge your faith other than Jesus. Have y'all ever heard me judge any of you? No. I've been preaching now for over 30 years. Elizabeth's getting old. And I'm telling you right now, I've never seen a preacher that can judge anybody well. But Christ judges everybody with accuracy. You know what he said? Anybody who understands they're a sinner and repents and receives me is now judged into the fellowship of the brethren. Pretty cool, isn't it? So we gotta understand, why do we need to meet together? That's a good question. And it's answered in Hebrews 10. 24, better than any other reason I see to meet together. And here's what it says. Now we're going to hold on to what? What we profess. And if you don't think that's going to be challenged in the world today, you are out of your mind. Guess what most of us do when we're challenged? What do you think? Well, if it helps you today, I live in Warren County. 95,000 people in Warren County do not attend church. Does that blow you away, Lockwood? 95,000. On an average Sunday morning, we have 16,000 people in church. You know why that is? We don't care. Because we've forgotten about fellowship. Now, if you ask any American, they're all what? If you ask an American, are you a Christian? They go, are you a Christian? Oh, yeah, I think I am. Boy, that's real security. Is that what you're going to say on the judgment day? Lord says, should I let you in? Well, I think so. Maybe. I reckon. I hope. I don't know. Well, God's got a little bit better plan than that. He's got a no plan. He will know you, and you will know him, and you will know heaven. That's why we need to be with each other. Now, check this out. Let us consider. I love that word, don't you? Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good what? Deeds. Hebrews 10:24. Why do we need to be with each other? Two things. We got to spur. What? Spur. I want to tell you a spur story real quick. A few years back, some very crazy brethren here in this church decided we needed to go horseback riding on January the 1st of a new year. So we go to this brother's farm. These horses, they were wild horses. They looked like wild Mustangs that nobody had tamed. And they start coming out of the trailer. One of them, big old black horse, it rears up, you know, and stuff's coming out of its nose and fire and stuff like that. And it's all, and they look and they said, that's your horse. I said, I'm staying in the truck. And I'm kind of scared of horses anyway. You know what I mean? They you know, and big old, you know, sandpaper lips and stuff like that. It just bothers me. And they got them big hooves. And if they kick you in the chest, that's not good news. I'm scared of them. And then you want them to go and they just stand there and, you know, exhaust. You know, sometimes horses don't listen. Well, they give me this horse. Finally, I got one I'd get on. So all morning long, I'm trying to ride this horse, and this horse will not do what I tell it to do. Now, it's a female horse. And I'd say, you know, to the left, and it'd want to go right. I'd say, giddy up, and it'd get nothing. And the horse just wouldn't respond. So we'll finally get to lunch. I get to lunch. After we finish lunch, Timmy, my buddy Timmy, comes out of the truck, and he got a set of spurs. Now, I wish I could tell you that everybody here in this church respected their pastor, but there's a few people here that like to see things happen to me. Like one time I went hunting with a group of them, and I kept shooting at the bird, and I was hitting the bird, and the bird just kept flying off. After about 30 minutes, I'm starting to get disturbed, and I'm feeling a little Pentecostal wave come up in me. I'm fixing to speak in some very known tongues that are easily interpreted. So before I got to that point, they all started grinning. He said, shoot that water barrel. I said, what do you mean, shoot that water barrel? Well, I said, you know what they did? See, I thought they was being nice to me. They gave me a box of shotgun shells. I thought, man, that's really nice. They put rock salt in every one of them. So I didn't have any bullets, and I knew I was aiming on those birds. These are the same people I'm riding horse with. So they bring the spurs on. I said, I ain't putting no spurs on. I am not putting spurs on. I'm going to hit that horse. It's going to buck me off. I'm going to break my collarbone. It's going to be a bad first year. So I didn't put spurs on. I'm going to tell you something about this. The horse, let me tell you what the horse did to me, too. I thought I was dead. We had the first three horses. We had to go down a little ravine. Of course, those horses looked like they were on National Geographic down the Grand Canyon. They just walked down like they're supposed to. You know what my horse did? So they're going on my horse. I said, come on, horse. You know, tweets going off from Chris Allen constantly. You know, twing, it's going to rain next week. You know, all them tweets you get from Chris. And here we go. So finally, Timmy looked at me and said, you big sissy, kick the horse and make it go. So I kicked the horse. I was like, come on. You know what I did when they said, come on? That horse leaps the ravine. I am airborne, high hole silver. I'm holding on to the horn. I'm off the saddle, and I'm looking down toward the ground in midair. I'm going, this ain't going to be good. I don't even have the reins. I mean, the head's flying. We hit, and I just hold on that horn. There we are, saddles all sideways. Of course, what do my brothers in Christ do? I could have been seriously injured, been dead. And they're laughing, about to fall off their horses because of great laughter. So we get through with this horse adventure. We get back home. I mean, the horse wouldn't spur. It wouldn't go on. It wouldn't move on. Now, I'm going to tell you why, because it makes application to here. Tom, 2 weeks later, the brilliant horse owner, he comes up to me. He said, "Hey, Rev, you know why that horse wouldn't go where you told it to go?"
I said, "No, why wouldn't it?"
He said, "I gave you the wrong name." He didn't even know the name of his own horses. He gave me Spitfire, and it was Wildfire. Well, I was calling out Spitfire. He thought I was talking to Wildfire. Hold on. How many of you all lack such fellowship you don't even know the name of the people sitting next to you? See, that's the problem with the church. We want to go put spurs on, and we need to learn names. You know, this is Tom, and this is Bob, and this is Mary, and this is Sue, and this is Shaquanda, and this is Shanika, and this is Joe, and this is Billy Bob, and this is, and we got names here I can't even pronounce, like Hukazaka. You know, that's wonderful. So Russian names. God's put them all together, but guess what? We need to know the names. And we say, why do we need to know names for? Because God knows my name, and God knows your name, and he's put us into fellowship. And guess what he says? Let us consider how we might spur, encourage each other, coach each other toward two things. Toward love. We got to love one another. Just look at your neighbor and go, "I got to love you. Come on. I got to love you." Now you won't get, I'm going over here where I won't get any trouble. Watch this. I've had to say this before right here. I love this woman, Elizabeth. I love her. I've loved her for all my life, and I can go like this. "I love you, but I don't like you right now." That's true. I like her right now, but there's been moments I didn't like her. Now, this is going to be hard for y'all to believe. Elizabeth, have you had moments that you didn't like me? Can y'all believe that? Some of you husbands don't look at me like that. Y'all in the same boat I am. I hang out with you. Yeah, but it's not about likability. Hold on, but watch this. I've had people leave churches because they, guess what? Didn't like something. Now, let me tell you something. That's cheap grace, boys and girls. And that's not fellowship. And Aubrey, I'm gotten so old, it's time to call it out. You know what I mean, brother? I always get scared when somebody comes to our church and they say, "Well, I didn't like Pastor so-and-so." You know what I tell them? I said, "You're going to hate me." I had this one couple, they didn't even make it to the service because they said, "Well, I didn't like Pastor so-and-so." I said, "He's easy." I said, he actually likes people. I said, "I basically don't." And I said, "He even takes time to care what you think. I only care what Jesus says." I said, "You're going to hate it here." See, we look for places that please us and we never find fellowship. But if we really started concentrating on pleasing God, guess what happens? Fellowship. You know, my minute mark is just different than it's ever been. Why? You're there. So it's no longer a minute mark. It's no longer a convenience food store. It's a place of fellowship. I'm not going to minute mark to pick up sin. Well, it's not sin unless you use too much of it. I try to keep just a pinch. And I go in there, but guess what? I know everybody in there, and it becomes what? Fellowship. We got some fellowship. Non-believers don't know what we're talking about. It freaks them out. Like, "Man, that was pretty cool in church the other day." And people are going, "They go to church." People hide their beer when they start hearing about church. I'm like, let God meet you where you are and show you how much he loves you. Amen. Second thing, I'm going to finish up and we'll get out of here. Good deeds. Good deeds are important. Now watch this. Good deeds cannot save you. Does everybody understand that? Quarterback Bush, when you make a great play, it's just a great play. It's not salvific, okay? But it will be needed this year. It's a good what? Deed. What did good deeds do? Why do we do good deeds? No, it's not about us. That's okay, but that's a good shot. Thanks for being honest. Guess what? You told the truth. Most of us do good deeds. Why? so we can feel good. Watch. How many testimonies have you heard this? Well, I went to work at the homeless shelter. I wasn't sure about it, but I want to tell you what, it didn't bless them. It blessed me. You know what I want to do? Who cares? I really want y'all to know, if you're really going to live in fellowship, it's not about bless me. It's about honor God. And when you start getting honor God, you start loving all kinds of folks you thought you couldn't love, because God loves everybody. And it's not about you. You know, when I started loving Elizabeth like an incredible, crazy kind of love, it scared me to death, is when I started loving her through the eyes of God so much, it changed everything in our marriage. Because before in marriage, I wanted what I wanted. And I thought, guess what? Here's how stupid I was. I thought Elizabeth was there to please me. Any of you men ever had that crazy thought? Earl, you've been married for 150 years. Did you ever have that thought for a couple years? You never did? Earl, next Sunday we're going to preach on lying. And I expect you to be the first to the altar. Crazy guy. And we've all, how many of you men had that thought? Aubrey, you, even when you were here as our elder, you was, you know, the favorite elder is what they called you. You was good. Did you ever have that thought, though? Yeah. It was a useless thought, wasn't it? Andy, did you ever have that thought when you were young, married? I know you don't now, because Trish has fellowshipped you into shape by doing what? Spurring good deeds and great love. I'm going in there today. This makes sense to everybody? There's a reason to come to church. One of them, Tim, is this. Your little boy got saved. Now, that's my number one reason, and I don't hide it. If you're not saved today, I want you to be saved. Why do I want you to be saved? Take a wild guess. Please, that's not a rhetorical question. Go ahead and give me a few guesses. Why? It's the only way into heaven. Josh, I don't believe God's going to do.
Well, why should I let you in? Because I read a Mark Driscoll book.
That ain't gonna work. Because I handed out candy to some poor kids. Don't get you to heaven. Make some poor kids happy, as long as the lollipop's there. But it's what? Jesus Christ, I ask you to forgive me of my sin. And you did. And the blood of Jesus has poured through me, and that's what brings us together. Isn't that cool? Wherever I'm in the world, and there's a brother and sister in Jesus Christ, then there's a brother or sister. It's so cool. I mean, I've been with people that I can't even speak their language, but I feel their spirit. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I've been with people. I don't do Asian languages real well at all. I don't do much other than Kentucky really well. I mean, even when I get to Boston, it's a little confusing. You know, they'll pot the car in the Abba. What? What? Two reasons we come to church. It's so the love of God might be shared in Jesus Christ. Everybody cool there? That's why we worship. That's why we fellowship. That's why Billy had his groove on today in Jesus Christ. Did y'all feel that? And then number two is what? So the good deeds that, I believe this, the good deeds that Jesus have put in us will be spurred what? Into the what? World.
Pretty neat, isn't it?
Because you know what? How many of y'all came to church because you saw somebody doing something unusual? I want y'all to be unusual. Where people are hating, guess what I want y'all to do?
Love them, blows people away.
Where people are picking on people, y'all ought to lift them up. Where people say things can't happen, guess what I do? Say, in the name of Jesus, that is not impossible. In the name of who?
Jesus.
And that's fellowship. Any questions? Everybody cool with that? Did you learn that's important here at Hillview? If you're new to Hillview, we're going to love on you. If you're brand new here, I'm going to show you the best way to meet people. Hello, my name's Steve.
Doug.
Doug, good to meet you, brother. Sharp dresser, too. Where are you from, Doug?
Hendersonville, Tennessee.
That's not a foreign country. That's pretty close to here. See it, right? What's this? And your name is?
Amber.
Amber, good to meet you. And where are you from originally?
Arkansas.
Now watch, I'm going to show you how fellowship happens. You see this big-headed guy back here with the gray goatee? A long time ago, before they had laces on the football, he was a kicker for the University of Arkansas. See what I'm saying? Go Razorbacks! Hold on, what's happening? Andy, I repent. There was laces on the ball.
You didn't have helmets.
One bar. You did have one bar, that's true, isn't it?
Yeah.
Did you have two bars or one bar? One bar. Now, that's a man that can play football with one bar. Make sense? Now, watch. There's a connection that begins to create a what? Fellowship. Met a new guy from Texas this week. I was over at Chewy's. Y'all been to Chewy's yet? Y'all be careful. You can sin over there real quick. You can eat too much real quick. Chris Allen was over at Chewy's. He's one of our pastors. And guess what? I hadn't met this guy but 5 seconds, and he was supposed to meet Chris Allen. I said, you tell him when you meet him. He'd never met him before. I said, you tell him when you meet him, he's the only man that can be wrong 98% of the time and keep a job. So watch this. He went over there, and that's all this. I mean, this guy didn't, you know, he'd met me and Chris. And here's Chris's big head coming around the corner looking. I know who said it. What is that? What is that? It's fellowship. Now, at Hillview, some people get offended. We pick on each other here at church a little bit. Why?
Because we love each other.
We love each other. I tell people the only place you got to be politically correct is a place where there is no love. I was with a bunch of politically correct pastors, and I mean, they're like, it's a big secret. They'd ask me, they said, well, Dr. Ayers, I got to ask you a question. We understand you have an integrated congregation. He says, what do you call people of color in your congregation? I said, black. He goes, and how do they refer to you? I said, white boy. And they go, how do y'all do that? I said, we love one another. I said, you only got to be politically correct when you don't love each other. You see, when you're truly saved, you don't see no color. When you're truly saved, you don't care where anybody's from. Hold on, I'm going to preach just a moment and I will close. I really do mean it. But I really want you to understand fellowship. When the blood of Jesus moves through a soul and God himself has proclaimed you forgiven, you'll hold the hand of anybody else he said that to. And you don't matter where they are. When I'm in Costa Rica, about all I can say in Costa Rica is, hello, Jesus bless you, and where are the bathrooms? But you know what? When they start singing one of our praise songs in Spanish, I got enough. I know a few words in English. And you know what? I look over at our Costa Rican brothers and sisters, and we're in a fellowship of love. They're kind of moving in rhythm. I'm moving without rhythm, but we both moving with Jesus. Amen? That's what I'm talking about. Spurring each other. In what? Love. Freddie Hampton's in Costa Rica right now. Can't speak a lick of Spanish. Grew up in Logansport, Kentucky. And he walks down in Costa Rican streets in Cartago. And today they'll be going, Señor Freddy, Señor Freddy. And his answer is, how y'all doing? And God uses God's heart that's in Freddie to draw Costa Ricans to the powerful, powerful saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's fellowship, amen? That's what I'm talking about. All right, just some practical instructions. Y'all got to introduce each other to each other. Just some heads up helping you, okay? Don't sit by somebody's church and don't ask their name. It might be their first time too. That's why y'all are sitting there going like this at each other. Wonder why they're not talking to me. Because the guy sitting next to you is doing this. Bunch of stuck-up religious snobs. Because we're all new. You just got, what is it, Hillview? At Hillview, you just got to do it wide open. Hello, my name is. And don't get offended if you've been here for 15 years. Listen, I've had people introduce themselves to me. They go, do you go to Hillview? I said, sometimes. I love it. I go out in the parking lot. People never guessed me being the pastor. I had one guy, he goes, man, I don't know if I can go to church. I go, why not? I said, we don't charge. I said, are you broke? He said, no, man, I'm an alcoholic. I said, middle section, you'll be fine. Well, let me tell you why. It's part of fellowship. I want to be very clear. I don't care who any of you is. I care who you are. And if you are in Jesus Christ, you my brother and sister. So in a real way, here's what happens in fellowship. God takes my is and takes it away. So my am, I am in him. I am in him. Make sense? Well, let's pray. Let's stand up, man. So people are going to get saved today. One guy already got saved today. He's going to be baptized. He's going to confess his salvation in baptism. If you need to be baptized, David, guess what? The Lord wants people to be baptized. Amen? The Lord wanted you to lose weight and you lost it, didn't you? If you do what the Lord says, the Lord will. How many of y'all really believe? The Lord will. Now today, some of y'all need to come to be baptized because God loves you so much. Today, he's just been straight up. Been straight up. So why do y'all put people all the way under? Because we believe that's the best illustration of what Jesus Christ has done. He's forgiven all of you, not some of you. He's buried what you used to be far, far away, and he's risen up what you're going to be. So Harold Carrier, every Sunday, we have no idea what's going to happen, do we? Because God's still coming. Amen? Pray with me. Lord, today there's some beautiful people that you have called to grace. Listen to me. Listen to me. Today, if you know Jesus Christ, I mean, you felt, hey, man, I need Jesus. Well, that didn't come from me. That came from him to you. Now, just listen. Lord Jesus, I know I've sinned. Lord Jesus, come into my life. I'm sorry for what I've done. I don't want to live that way anymore. Come into my life and forgive me. If you can pray that, you pray that in your own way. You pray that, guess what? God's going to come into your life and establish you as a new person. You got to let him do it. You got to receive him. Make sense? Once you do that, you'll live forever and God will be in you. Today you've seen baptisms. Say, why people get baptized? Because they've received Christ and they're making a first step, an act of obedience. Baptism won't save you. Only Jesus will save you. And baptism is a confession that you have been saved. So it's important to confess. I've been saved. Some of you say, well, Pastor Steve, I got baptized when I was a little baby. You know what? I praise God that your mom and daddy loved you so much they wanted you to meet Jesus. So as an adult, your confession in baptism is confirming what your parents originally what? Desired. You say, well, what about being a baby? Well, let me ask you a question. Did you get to choose what foods you ate when you were a baby? Because I'd have never ate that smashed squash. Did you go to the facilities when you wanted to, or did you have somebody help you? There comes a moment in your own consciousness that you need to decide to follow Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, bring us to the altar. There are many decisions. There's healing. There's great things going on. And Lord, I ask you to bring all who need to be brought today. Whosoever would believe, repent, receive, be baptized. May they be brought forward in the name of Jesus. Church, the altar's open. Y'all come on right now, man. We got plenty of time. Thank y'all for being here today. Thank you for being in fellowship. Thank you for not giving up on meeting together. And now let's come and see God save people. And people come for baptism. People be healed. Come on. Thank you for coming. Come on. Don't stand there today. Just come on up here and let God do some great things today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless them, Lord.